You know, the one advantage to serving a church that is an hour and a half away, if you get called on twice in a day, most people, you know, they wouldn't have heard you. So, you know, it's that is, I guess, and my mind works where in a manner which it's on my mind for days at a time and doesn't leave until I'm halfway through the next week, where my mind starts to go, and I thank the Lord that He blesses it to go somewhere else. So Jesse is the only one that heard it and before, and my mind's still right where it was this morning, so pray that the Lord would bless it as He sees fit. And, you know, I was sitting over there, and I was like, if Brother Sam calls on me, I was going everywhere. I was trying to put together something. I was like, if he calls on me, where might I go? What? And I just said, you know what, I don't know why I'm trying. Just let it be. Just let it go. And I started to think about, you know, well, you're going to repeat yourself. You're going to have the same sermon. But then I started looking at different spots. The Lord, He tells us over and over and over again the same things. Amen. He tells us over in the Gospels. You start pulling it up. And, you know, Brother Sam, the first time he ever come and asked me to come and share the time, and I had my iPad, and he looked at me and said, well, grab your Bible or whatever you want to call it, just grab it, you know. And now he comes over, grab your Bible, and come on with me, because it is great, but I can hit a button on my app here, and it'll give me all the four Gospels on the same account right next to each other, and I can read them run right next to the other. And you know what? The four accounts, they're going to give it, it's repeating over and over again, giving a different example of the same things. The Lord repeats the Ten Commandments back in the Old Testament. You know what? He could have given it once, and it would have been all He needed to give it to us. If the Lord says it one time, that's it. If He says, this is the way it is, and He never says it again, that's the way we ought to follow. Amen. But He knows who we are. He knows what we are by nature. So He gives it to us over and over again. So I pray that the Lord would be with us today, tonight as we go over here to Mark 8. And Mark 8 is just a simple little sermon, a simple little thought on a blind man. And yesterday when we were over at the Hathaway's house, they asked me, Brother Rick asked me what's on my mind. I said, Mark 8, 5 verses and 8 minutes. And he said, that's what's on your mind? I said, yeah, 5 verses and 8 minutes. So I pray that the Lord would be with us. We wouldn't take too much time from Brother Sam. But starting verse 22, it says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and he said, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him to look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into town or tell it to any in town. So this blind man he's blind, his sight's restored, and it's because the Lord restored it. But we get a little bit of, we get some beautiful things that we can glean from it. Notice that the man doesn't go by, he's not the one taking himself to Christ. He is being brought by others. They bring him to the Lord. You know, when we talk about prayer requests in before service, we should take it serious. Amen. We should remember that we're making mention of someone's names, that we want to go and take it their name and pray for them to the Lord. We want to see what someone might need and go to them and help them, bring them closer to the Lord. That's what we should be striving to do. Amen. They bring him to the Lord. When I think about that, I always think of the picture of the friends that are taking the man up on the bed, and they can't get into Christ. They say, well, we tried our best, you know. We couldn't get into him. No, they ripped the roof off. They ripped the roof off and dropped him down. And it says, by their faith, he was made whole. Right. By their faith. It didn't say his faith. It was by their faith. That's the type of actions we should have. We should be willing to rip the roof off for one another. We should be willing to go to that far of a measure to help one another. you know what, in the day and time in which we live, to take time to take someone else somewhere, we just don't live in that type of time. You say, well, I might have 2 minutes, but I've got to hurry up and I got to get back, and I've got this going on, and I've got this going on. You know, before church service, Caleb and I were talking, and he was talking about he just doesn't have any time anymore. And I said, oh, I know, it only gets worse. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? Really, one more year, and it might get better for Laura and I. You know, Jesse goes off to college, and all the rest are gone. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with our time. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm praying for it. But the thing is, we're going to say, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to, we need to take the time to be willing to take our friends to the Lord. Take them and strive to do something for him, because he was blind, couldn't get there himself. He can't see. So they bring him to him. But you know, you can't say, well, I don't have anybody bringing me, because you don't ever want to try to use the Bible as your excuse, because the Lord's going to already know it. You know, it's like when you go to try to tell your parents an excuse you already have worked out, and they say, I used that on my parents. That's no good. You know, you say, well, no one's helped me come to the Lord. Well, you know what? We get examples given where people on their own strive to get to the Lord just to touch the hem of his garment and fought through a group of people so they could touch it. We still on ourselves have to have that type of desire and that type of willingness, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be the ones also trying to clear the way for that one that's going to touch the hem of his garment. So when you look at that, it says, they besought him to touch him. And I read over that. That sounds just great. They go to the Lord. Lord, touch him. Lord, touch him. This is what we're begging you to do. You know, the thing that ends up happening, and I didn't see it. Brother Rick was talking about it when we were discussing this yesterday. And he's so right. They were saying, Lord, touch him. Because that was what their story was. That's the song we sang. This is my story. Everybody knows how the Lord might have worked on them, how he might have opened their eyes, how he might have changed them. We don't ever need to put a box on the Lord and say, well, this is how he did it for me, so he must have to do it that way for this one. You know what? The Lord, in one instance, when he heals the blind, he spit and made mud, and he put it on their face. The other time, he just touches them. You know, the Lord wouldn't have to be around them. If he wanted them to see again, he could have thought it, and it would have been done. Don't ever put the Lord in a box. You know, you can go and be praying for someone. Say, Lord, I'm praying for them that this can happen and that it can work out this way, this way, this way, and this way. We're not better thinkers than the Lord. We don't know more than Him. We don't know what way they need to be healed or taken care of. What we need to do is make sure we're taken to the Lord and say, Lord, that it be Thy will is how it's done. Amen. They were begging Him to touch Him. But you know what? Lord, heal him, if it be thy will. Heal him. How it's done, I don't know. When you think you can think like God, we're in trouble. We can't. We don't have that ability. Thank God we don't have that ability. The Lord is greater than what we are. In our best state, He's greater than what we'd ever be. He can outthink us any day of the week. So don't try to put God in a box thinking He has to touch him to heal him. It says, then he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. So the example and the lesson we get right here is Christ takes the blind man by the hand and he leads him out of the town. It shows you that we can only go so far with ones that we're taking to the Lord. And what we have to do is we have to turn it over to the Lord. We have to turn it over to Him where He takes their hand and He leads them. It doesn't say He took their hand and he walked next to him. He took their side of their shoulder and let them walk. He says he took his hand and he led them. That's how we ought to walk in our lives, making sure that the Lord is in front. That the Lord is in front of us, because what better person to be in front taking on the world than the Lord for us? That's what we have to remember. We want to be led by the Lord. So this blind man, Christ takes his hand and he leads him. These people have brought him to the Lord. They brought him there and they begged them to touch him and to heal him. And when they got to that point, they had to stop. Because there's only so much that we can do as men. And we have to remember that that's all the much as we got. We can only take them to the Lord, and that's as much as we have in us. We can't do more than that. You can't take someone that is not understanding the truth and say, I just beat it into them and say, how can you not get salvation by grace? How do you not see it? It's the simplest thing in the Bible. And you know what? Thanks be to God that we can say that it's the simplest thing in the Bible. But to natural man that hasn't been worked on by God, it's not. It's not. I remember the days when it didn't make any sense. I remember the days of sitting back there thinking, these people are crazy. I mean, these people have no idea what they're talking about. But I'll tell you, I love Laura, so I was going to church. I mean, it wasn't for any other reason than that right there. I mean, that's how simple it was. And there would be preachers that would be like, I don't know how you don't get this. How do you not understand this? It's so easy. You know what? It's so easy because the Lord's blessed you to see it. It's not easy unless He blesses you. We can only go so far. So when you're trying to beat something into someone, you're trying to really convince them, you got to stop and remember, I need to put their hand in the Lord's hand and let Him lead them. That's what we got to remember to do. Bring them to the Lord and let the Lord take over. So the Lord leads him. He says, and he had come and he spit in his eyes. I think about that, and I think that he spit in his eyes. How, you know, that's going to make you take a step back. Someone spits in your eyes. You know, you're not just anybody spitting in your eyes. It's Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is spitting in this man's eyes. But notice he didn't do, and I think it's wonderful, he didn't just go up and touch him. He didn't just do what the people were begging him to do, because a lot of times that's what happens. They think, oh, they start to take credit as soon as they can. Man will always try to take credit for God whenever they can. He just opened a little bit. Why do you think Adam was created on the last day? So he couldn't take any credit. So he couldn't say, well, look what I've done.
Yeah.
No, and nobody can give him credit for it. Everything was done, and then Adam came. That's how simple it is. You know what? They were saying, touch him, touch him, touch him. He said, I got a different plan. I'm going to spit first. I'm going to spit on him first, and this is how it's going to work out. We have to remember, we have to trust in the Lord. And you know, he didn't just say, it wasn't something simple. It wasn't something, I mean, when you talk about spitting in someone's face, that's a big thing. He put something that's going to be really dramatic for us to remember and to see that it is the Lord's way and His timing on how He does stuff. So then He touches him. He touches him, and as He does that, He sees. He says, He asks him how he saw. And the man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. So the man can see, but he doesn't see clearly. He doesn't see crystal clear, but he can see. I'll tell you what, it's a great blessing to be able to see men or to be able to see anything when you haven't been able to see at all. So you should thank God for it. You should thank God right at that moment when you're only seeing men as trees walking. That's more than he could do just a few seconds ago. He couldn't see anything a few seconds ago. Now he's gotten to that point. He can see that. He can see men walking as trees. But then there's going to come something that is, I think, is wonderful. It's the second touch. The second touch is going to come after he put his hands again upon his eyes. And he made him look up, and he was restored and saw men clearly. This is what we have to remember. We have to remember we should be thanking God for the first touch. We should be thanking Him that we can see men walking as trees. We should be thankful we can see a little bit. If we're ever in a subject in a Bible, or we're on discussion in the Bible, and we can see a little bit of the insight of God, and we can see a little bit of His teachings, we should be thanking God.
Amen.
It could be all, you're like, oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I can't see that much. You know, yesterday, Brother Michael was talking about Ezekiel 1, and he was going through it, and I'll tell you, he was doing a good job on the four beasts and the four faces and all of that. I'll tell you, I told him, I said, ooh, that's just not my type of preaching right there. I can't preach that way. My mind doesn't get, it doesn't work that way. I mean, I'm breaking down, why is there four? Why is there four? Why is it this animal? Why is it that? Give me a picture of it. But I'll tell you, I understood what he was saying about the picture of what he was showing. Now, it might have been not as crisp and as clear to me, but I needed to thank God that I could see what I could see. This blind man couldn't see, and all of a sudden now he can see men walking as trees. But he doesn't stop. He doesn't go clicking his heels and running off and saying, oh, I'm thankful. I can see this well. I'm glad I can see this much, which we should be. But you know what the Lord teaches us is to not give up. Not ever to give up. I'll tell you, a few weeks ago I would have never guessed that the word importunity would have been so significant in the last couple of months of my study. But the Lord teaches us to be, it's persistence to the point of annoyance. And I have it down. I mean, I have that down very well. But the Lord teaches us to have importunity. Make sure that we're pressing on. He teaches it to us in the Lord's Prayer. He teaches us that the man who keeps knocking at the door to get the fruit, he didn't do it for any other reason. He just wanted it to be done. The widow woman to the judge. The judge didn't fear God or man. She wore him down. She wore him down and he said, okay, here it is. Just leave me alone. The thing is the Lord teaches us we need to continue to go back to the Lord. Back to Him over and over and over again. A lot of times people are afraid to announce someone's name over and over again for the prayer request. Thing is if they need it over and over again, we should be mentioning it over and over again. And we shouldn't be sorry for it. A few weeks ago when I was up there, went to church up there in Atlanta with Carson and after the graduation, and we went there and I heard two people make mention I've mentioned it before, but I want to mention them again. They were apologizing for mentioning something. I mentioned someone over. I tell you, we don't ever have to apologize for how many times we go back to the Lord on the same thing. We don't ever have to. You say, well, I feel a little greedy. I couldn't see, and now I can see men as trees walking. You know what we need to remember? This man didn't stop. He went back, he stood right there with the Lord, till the Lord blessed him, and what happens? He touches his eyes, and he can see clearly. Every man clearly. There's points in our lives, you know, there's different spots from being regenerated to converted, where you remember when you first hear the truth, and you start to hear it, and I told him this morning, I heard my father-in-law, and I hope they're not listening, but I it was brutal sometimes, you know. When I first started going to church, I'd sit back there, it was brutal. And all of a sudden, I remember one Sunday he started saying something, and I was like, man, that's pretty good. What happened? And maybe he was extra good that day. Maybe something about him was something. And then the next time, he got a little bit better. It wasn't him changing anything. The Lord was blessing me to have more understanding. He was blessing me to see a little bit more. The Lord had changed me, and then I start seeing more and more, more clearly, and you get that understanding to the time when I remember that the man, the visiting preacher, was standing up there preaching, and I knew that I was supposed to come down and ask for a home and church and be a member of his church. I was seeing clearly. Now, I was fighting him, but I was seeing clearly. I knew what to do. I knew what I was supposed to do. We need to remember Saul gets struck down on the road to Damascus and he says, Lord, he calls him Lord. He's seen, he's been persecuting the church and all of a sudden he gets struck down, but he knows who he's talking to. He knows it. The only way he knows it is the Lord has blessed him to know who he's talking to. So he sees that, but what happens? He gets up and can't see. He can't see. And then he comes over to Ananias, and a little bit later, Ananias touches him. On that second touch, the scales fall off, and he knows exactly what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to go get baptized and start preaching the gospel. That's what he knew. That second touch, he can open his eyes and he can see. Right down here, a few verses down here in Mark, Christ is going to ask him. He's going to tell him, he's going to say, Who do men say that I am? In verse 27. And he tells them, they say, you're John the Baptist, you're other prophets. And Christ says in verse 29, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art Christ. So he knew who he was. He could see that he was Christ. He could see that he was God. But the Lord starts to teach him in verse 31. He says, they began to teach them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said unto them openly, he say that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. You know what he could see? He knew he was Christ, but he was only seeing partly. It was a little darker because when the Lord started to teach the truth, he's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's how it's going to go. Peter started to rebuke him because that's not how it was supposed to be. Thing is he couldn't see men clearly at that point in time. He couldn't see it crisp and clear. He'd eventually get to see it because he'd get to experience it. We need to make sure that when we are blind in a subject or blind on a matter and the Lord blesses us to see a little bit, we thank God for it.
Amen.
We thank God that we can see men walking as trees. We need to make sure that we take the time to stay right there on God and say, God, I want more. I want to see better. I want to see clearer. I want to see crisper. Help me to do that. We need to make sure we don't just settle for seeing a little bit. Pray that the Lord would bless us to see clearer and to see it better and crisper. And you know what? We need to make sure that when we do it, we take that and we thank God for it. That it's all of Him. The only way that we're going to be able to see a little bit or a lot is if the Lord blesses us. This blind man was brought by others to God. He was brought by others to Christ. Christ led him. Christ took him. Of course, Christ wanted to make sure everybody knew that he was going to do it his way. He spit in his eyes. He touched his eyes. The man can barely see, and all of a sudden he touches him again, and he can see clearly. Notice, after both times, he says, look up. The man looked up. He said, made him look up. Whenever we can't see clearly, I'm telling you, there's no better place than to look up. We can't see at all, look up. If we can't see clearly, look up. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to a man. Don't look to the teachings of men. Look up and look to God. That's where we go that we can see. We need to make sure we put God in that understanding that He is the one that blesses us to see, to open our eyes. Don't put Him in a box. Don't put Him in a box and think it's got to be done a certain way. Make sure that we understand that God is greater than what we can even comprehend. When you try to start thinking about comprehending God, it's way out there. I mean, it's so big, we can't even put it there. And when we try to describe it, we fall short. The best of the best preachers that can try to describe God don't even do justice to any of it. Because He's God. He spoke it into existence. And He takes the time to take a blind man and to bless him to see. And He took the time out of his thing and He blessed him to see a little bit. And it wasn't quite enough. He didn't see clearly. And the Lord takes more time and touches him again. I tell you, when we're in our walks of life, make sure we stay around for the second touch. Make sure we're staying right there with the Lord because it's His touches that bless us to see clear. May the Lord bless you in my prayer.